The 920 KVEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slo County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kvec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 01111911.
All right, Craig, thank you. I'm Dave Congleton, welcoming you back to Hometown Radio on this Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I just remind you that I'm taking the day off tomorrow. Got some eye stuff, vision stuff to do, nothing pressing. I just need the day. Bill Ostrander and Craig will run the show tomorrow. I will be back with you on Thursday. Still to come on this broadcast, former State Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham spends a 6 o'clock hour with us. This hour, there are many of you, particularly those of you in elective office in California, who have this vision that one day we will live in what I call an all-electric world. The cars we drive will be electric vehicles. The houses that we live in will all be electric. All the appliances will be electric. Everything is going to be electric. I'm not sure that's going to happen in my lifetime. And I'm not against electricity. Electricity is our friend, but just here's one example. When's the last time you checked your electric bill? Have you seen how much your electric bills are going up now under the new PG&E rate increases? Well, here's my question. Do you think that's going to impact at all the cost of driving that electric vehicle? What are the consequences of living in this all-electric world? How feasible is it, and what do we need to be concerned about? Thankfully, we have our good friend and regular contributor, Mr. Sam Cotton, here to sort through it all. Sam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good, sir. You're looking good.
Thank you.
Remind me.
I got my Tom Selleck Magnum PI shirt on.
Well, put the webcam on so people can see it. You're big into e-bikes. You have e-bikes?
Yes, sir.
All right. And remind me, do you have electric vehicles?
I don't want to say because I'm going to surprise my wife with what happened today.
Okay. Well, prior to today, did you have an electric vehicle?
Yes. I had a Chevy Bolt for a little over a year and a half.
What was that experience like
for you? I loved it.
Okay.
Is absolutely one of the most fun little cars I've ever driven.
Vivian, turn off the radio. But what now? Let's start with PG&E. Their rates are going up.
Oh, they have gone up January 1st.
Yeah.
20%.
They're up.
Yep.
So
45 cents per kilowatt hour, which is the most expensive electricity in California.
How's that likely to impact electric vehicles? What do you think? What's your crystal ball tell you?
The cost of recharging has gone up if you have PG&E. Southern California Edison's quite a bit less expensive.
Right.
Because PG&E, my opinion, is not a particularly well-run company.
We could do a whole hour just on that.
Yeah. But I tell you what, fossil fuels have their own theme song. You know that, don't you? And it's probably the greatest rock and roll song ever written. Rick Astley's I'm Never Going to Give You Up. And if you...
Great, I'm not going to get that song out of my mind. I'm going to call you at midnight. I'm going to call you at midnight tonight.
But I'll tell you what, given our addiction to fossil fuels, they're never going to go away. And as great as electric vehicles can be, for most people, a hybrid is a much better choice.
So the rates are going up, have gone up. Has it affected your use of your electric vehicle?
Well, my bike? No, that charged me. That's pennies to charge that thing. But I know that the article that I read that you sent to me, it could be as much as 20 to 40% higher. The good thing is I have a solar system at our house, and I have a home level 2 charger. So our solar panels offset some of the increase in the charging.
So I guess the question becomes, Sam, do you see the rate increases by PG&E as impacting people to make them less reluctant to go EVs?
You mean more reluctant?
Yeah, thank you. More reluctant.
Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, we had this discussion a few weeks ago on the air. Electric vehicle participation has decreased. Or the level of increase of purchasing electric vehicles has declined. There's still, you know, California is the EV state. We have more than a million EVs in the state. And Tesla, the Model Y, is the most popular car in the world. Period. All over the world. It is the number one selling vehicle in the world. So, but the cost of electricity is a large determiner of what it's going to cost you to operate that vehicle.
Right, because I believe you're drawn to electric vehicles, one, because you want to help the environment, and two, it's supposedly cheaper than filling your car with gas all the time.
You know what the real attraction for me is with a Tesla right now?
If you were to have one.
Yes, if I had one, is the entire driving experience. It's absolutely amazing what that car is capable of. And for what you get, for the price you pay, nothing else even comes close. Nothing. And then you throw on the supercharging network that Tesla constantly upgrades. You've got no other electric vehicle that even comes close to offering what Tesla does, even though I'm not a huge Elon Musk fan.
You're in trouble. Guess who's listening?
Elon. Hey, how you doing, buddy?
No. The missus is listening.
Uh-oh. What'd she say?
She's listening in the parking lot. Too late to turn off the radio.
Well, I love you.
Well, thank you. I like you, too.
No, I wasn't talking to you.
Well, the point is, we get ready for the first break. You see the push forward with electric vehicles.
I think that, the governor is a huge proponent of electric vehicles, which is directly at odds with his Public Utilities Commission, which is allowing PG&E to inflate their rates as much as they have.
See, I kind of agree with the article. I see it slowing down, and I'm certainly not an expert on this, but I can see some people who were on the fence saying, you know what, I'm not going to make the leap right now. Rates are going up. I'm not sure I'm going to be saving any money. They don't have all this figured out. We've talked earlier about the lack of sufficient chargers around. I'm just not ready to make the leap.
Well, if you get a Tesla, there's plenty of chargers. That's the one huge advantage they have over everybody else. As a matter of fact, most of the other manufacturers that produce electric vehicles are going to the Tesla charging, what do they call that, system. Mm-hmm. So they're allowing their newly produced and retrofitted EVs to use the Tesla supercharger network.
Sam Cotton is back on Hometown Radio. We're looking into the future and imagining what it would be like to live in a so-called all-electric world, because that's what many of you are advocating for. That's how you see the future. How practical is that? We look forward to hearing from you as we continue right here on KVEC. All right, we're in conversation with Sam Cotton. We're talking about what life might be like in an all-electrified culture. We start off talking about electric vehicles, wondering if they're going to be affected at all by the huge increase in rates by PG&E. The other part of this, Sam, as we're back with you, is the house. You know, the whole thing we went through here in San Luis Obispo. What's the future hold for the electrified house?
Well, I know at least in my household and in anybody that likes to cook, gas is a much better source for cooking than electricity. Now, if you're looking for the most effective, it's induction. But induction stoves are extremely expensive, and they're not as good as gas to cook on. They're just less expensive. Because in the way of induction works.
Right. But San Luis Obispo had that ordinance modeled after Berkeley, and then the court stepped in and threw out the Berkeley ordinance, and I guess San Luis Obispo decided to avoid the legal battle, and they repealed it themselves.
Which was really smart.
Yep.
Because for heating, appliances that heat, you can't beat natural gas. It's less expensive. The unit itself usually costs less. And as far as a fossil fuel, one of the least polluting fossil fuels out there is natural gas. Less expensive, readily available, and the appliances cost less. So it's a win-win-win. Mm-hmm.
Craig, you want in on this? Can I interest you in an all-electric house or an electric vehicle?
No. Not yet. When the technology gets better, then I'm interested.
What would be the threshold for you?
Reliability, and not just of the vehicles, but the grid. You're asking to increase dependence on something that is becoming less dependable as time moves on, and that just doesn't seem like a safe bet to me. And I understand you're saying, well, what about a hybrid? Well, I can go for a no-brid, and it doesn't cost me a dime. My Jeep right now will be running in 30 years, and I don't have to worry about it.
Follow up on his point about the, and this is a concern that I have, the hacking, the assault on the grid. If a foreign power wanted to bring us down, just go for the, don't worry about dropping a bomb on us. Just bring us to our knees by taking over the grid.
Yeah, that can happen. And, you know, I've got no thoughts about that particular scenario. However, hopefully, the powers that be on our grid have hardened that enough against attacks that we can avoid that.
Well, look at Texas, where their power grid was totally overwhelmed by bad weather.
That's Texas.
Yeah.
They have their own unique set of problems. I love the state, but they've got some issues there that they need to get resolved.
But it sounds like the three of us are all expressing concerns of an all-electric world, that we don't seem to be against electricity. We're not comfortable with the total dependence on it to the exclusion of everything else.
Well, it just doesn't make sense to go totally electric. Like I said, gas, natural gas is a proven source. Hybrid vehicles work extremely well. Craig's Jeep, you know, will still be around when cockroaches rule the earth.
Craig needs to hold. What are you saying, Craig?
Well, something you said was the dependability of the electric system. Well, we just hope that it's fortified against foreign attack. So now my livelihood and my life is dependent on hoping for the government not incompetent.
If the grid goes down, you won't be able to pump gas into your Jeep.
You won't be able to do anything.
Yeah. So
I have a pump in my garage that I can crank with my hand.
Where do you get the gas to go in the tank?
In the hole in the ground that's out in front of the gas station.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. If you want in this conversation with Sam Cotton, pick up the phone, give us a call, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Pun intended, the powers that be seem to see an all-electric world as the answer. And Sam and I are saying, oh, wait a minute, not so fast. There needs to be more of a balance. But you're not calling for a total return to fossil fuels.
Oh, God, no. No. I mean, it's in our future. More and more things are going to be electric. I don't think we can avoid that. However, it's premature to make it an all-electric future. I don't think we're going to get rid of the current crop of internal combustion engine vehicles anytime soon. We're always going to have holdovers, such as Craig and his Jeep. I mean, those are going to be around for forever. The vehicle that I drive right now will probably last another 200,000 miles. And the next owner is going to enjoy that long after I've passed it on.
Let's take a call. We start with Alan in San Luis. Hey, Alan.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Yeah, several things. Well, one, as you mentioned, induction cooking is great, but then you have to start with all new cooking utensils. There's only certain ones that work. So there's another investment along with the stove being more expensive.
I was just going to come to your house and have you cook me dinner.
Oh, sounds good to me. you bring the salad, right? Okay. Anyway. Let's see. So there's several things. You mentioned the vulnerability. We don't need foreign attack. All we need is a windstorm or heavy rain, and there goes the power.
That's true.
So there's a lot of ways that
or a snowstorm in Texas,
down.
And there goes the grid.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much. Energy, yeah, it's even locally. Let's say you don't want to if you don't want to spend the money on the solar cells, I mean, you can buy the battery and charge it up and keep it charged, but that's still how many thousands of dollars? There's just so many things to making your home all electric practical.
Sam?
No, I totally agree. And induction's cool, but, you know, most cookware won't work on it.
So you have to go out and buy new cookware.
Which is not cheap.
Alan, thank you.
Neither is the stove.
We go to Rick on KVEC. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Rick.
So the important thing about electricity is what they call the mechanical advantage of electricity, which means you're burning far less fossil fuel to do the same amount of work. In some cases, the mechanical advantage is easily 10 to 1, 100 to 1. In some cases, it's 1,000 to 1. So you're going to burn far less fossil fuel to power your car or to cook your food. And I kind of disagree that electric cookware is worse than gas. I find it just fine. The other thing that I want to say is our grid is not that vulnerable because our grid is not super connected to each other. And so some foreign power tries to hack into one part of our grid, they can't shut the whole state of California down. They might be able to impede one power plant for a small amount of time, but the grid is not that interconnected. It's just not that vulnerable. So embrace it. Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. Now, we do need to increase the capacity of the grid as we go to more and more electric appliances and electric cars, we do need to increase the capacity because our grid was built decades ago for a certain demand, and now we're putting way more demand on our grid, so it needs to increase. And that brings us to PG&E raising their rates. We need to have PG&E infused with capital so they can increase the size of the grid.
What about all that, Sam? That's a lot there.
Well, 60% of the energy produced in the United States is produced by fossil fuels. Now, in California, we use a high percentage of renewables, but it's not everywhere. And I totally disagree with your presumption that an electric cooktop provides superior cooking to gas. You talk to, or you look at any restaurant where they cook high-end food, what do they cook with? Gas. There's a reason for that. It's more easily controllable, and you can turn it down instantly. So,
what about Rick's point about the grid is in separate grids, and you can't take it all out with one strike?
I can't comment on that. I have no knowledge.
Damage can still be done, though, Rick.
Yes, but let's circle back to the point of, you know, cooking. You know, I will challenge you to a cook-off.
And you'll challenge my wife.
I will show you how well an induction cooker works versus a gas range. I understand what you're saying, but I will say that the induction is the future, and it works just as well as gas, if not better.
Although I agree with Sam, the restaurants I've been in, they use gas.
Every single one.
They don't use electric.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, we're out of time there. Thanks for the call. We're off to California Headline News and ABC Radio News. Craig updates us with time saver traffic and weather together. We'll take more of your phone calls, read some of these text messages coming in for Sam Cotton. As we look to the future, so many of you seem to embrace this idea of an all-electric world. I'm wondering if you still feel that way. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio for the Central Coast. It is the Dave Congleton Show. Good to be with you on KVEC. Here's the news. Where we are continuing our conversation with Sam Cotton A lot of you like the idea of living in an all-electric world. Your cars are electric, your housing is electric, your appliances are electric. But there are costs to that, aren't there? That's what we're talking about. 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. Let's go to Danny down in Grover. Hey, Danny.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Danny.
Hi,
Sam.
Hi.
Hi,
Danny.
Yeah. I agree. Gas is superior than electric when it comes to cooking.
Thank you.
And right now, I don't even have a kitchen, and so I use a little chef's, you know, burner, gas burner. And I make awesome things with it. And also, if these people that think the electricity is better for cooking, ask a chef. And I think they'll tell you otherwise. Also, it's kind of like investing, with this electricity, all electricity. I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in one basket, simply because for security reasons and, you know, attacks from other countries. And, also like Craig, I don't want the government controlling my electricity like that.
What are you afraid of?
I just don't think they handle things well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I've worked for the government, both at the federal and the state level, and it always takes them three times longer, and it's three times more expensive.
Hmm. Sam, you want to comment on what she's arguing?
I can't improve on what she said.
But you agree with her?
100%.
All right, Danny, what else is on your mind?
That's about it, unless you've got some other things that I can think
well,
of.
I mean, is there anything I could do to get you to go electric?
When they, you know, I remember 24 years ago doing an illustration. I'd gone back to school for an electric company. It was an ad for don't let the brownouts get you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was 24 years ago. I hope our grid's a little better now. But, you know, again, it's government. I don't completely trust them. And so hopefully they've improved it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So, well, fair enough. Danny, thank you.
The one thing she didn't bring up is PG&E threatening to shut down Diablo Canyon. That provides 10% of California's power.
But we seem to have moved beyond that.
Hopefully for now.
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of PG&E's rate increase was due to continuing to operate Diablo Canyon and then the huge lawsuits because of the fires that PG&E helped cause.
Right. Danny, thanks for the call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Do you want to live in an all-electric world? Carolyn checks in on KVEC. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I was thinking about this. I have a whole, what was the other gentleman's name?
Sam.
Sam. Okay, I was thinking about this at another level, and this is going far-reaching out there. Has anybody thought about how this would be financially devastating to the whole United States? Because we have truck drivers right now that bring fuel to, they get it from San Pedro or the other end, and they're bringing fuel to each gas station, and that's their livelihood. And you have what's that called? When they go and they're picking up there's different things that are going on. You have the military. I worked for the National Guard,
right,
and I handle the fuel. Okay. And you have aircraft, the JP-8 and the there's the one for there's regular fuel. Then you have the diesel fuel, and all our equipment, all our trucks and all that were diesel. And there was not, I take that back. Right. They were regular.
So what's the point? Carolyn, what's the point? Please.
The point is, how are you going to take all that and have them come back and take their money? Who's going to be able to afford that? Even the government can't say, okay, let's take all the military vehicles, let's take them out, let's bring in electric bills.
I mean,
it's not financially feasible for people in different sectors to try and change all that?
Right. Hang on, Carolyn. So, Sam, the cost of electrifying the U.S. military. I hadn't even thought about that.
That's never going to happen. That's never going to happen.
Never?
Yeah, well, not in my lifetime, your lifetime, my kids' lifetime, because the military is so hooked into its petroleum addiction.
Okay.
Electricity in all these other countries, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And they can't bring a big, whatever you call it, to help, keep the, if it goes out, to keep the, no, they can't. It's not realistic.
All right.
That I see.
Carolyn, thank you very much for the call. That seems to be what you're saying. It's not realistic.
Yeah.
All right. We got Don on KVEC. Hi, Don.
Hey. Guys, how are you?
We're good. How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm looking at my current PG&E bill for this month.
Yeah.
Total amount, $402.
$402 for electricity?
Two.
That's
which is $140 lower than last month's. I think it's because of my Christmas lights. But
go LED, Don.
What's that?
Go LED.
here's what's really puzzling me is that of that 402, 292 goes to PG&E. 113 goes to this group called Central Coast Community Energy.
Oh, yes.
Electric generation charges, $113.
Yep.
Now, I remember when they came out, I think it was about 5 years ago or so, they promoted that we had to do, and I remember it was came out originally at about $75 a month. At 113 now. But it was supposed to help us save our bill.
And I thought it was supposed to be one or the other. You'd either pay PG&E or you'd pay Central Coast Energy.
I'm not sure
Bad. I mean, at the time it was like, what the hell? Just do what you want to do. And I just did it. But
so I think PG&E handles the distribution of the power and Central Coast Energy handles the origination of the power.
But Don's paying both, and now he's paying $400.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, I keep track of my my bills. I've tracked them monthly for the last 10 years. And prior to this coming out, I remember I used to average like maybe $300 a month. And, now I'm up to $400 or so a month. And I just don't understand what their involvement is here. What are they doing for me?
There was a 20% rate hike with PG&E January 1st. So that could account for your increased bill.
Sounds like I need to get somebody from PG&E in here.
Yeah.
Don, thanks for checking in. I think my electric bill is like $100, if that. So I'm stunned.
Yeah, but you live in a shed.
Yeah, that's right. Bree is joining us from Morro Bay. Hi, Bree.
Hey, I was just listening in, and I got a couple off-the-wall ideas about the electricity, and everybody's saying about generating it and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
We have forgotten about an old technology now, steam engines.
Steam engines?
Now, there are steam
engines. And
everybody's
saying, well, what if the power grid poops out and so forth and so on. Now, I live here in Morro Bay, and a couple of years ago when we had the nasty rains, we had a flood, and we were without power for 3 days. And it was kind of ironic because I was without power, so what am I going to do? So I went to a hardware store, and guess what I bought? A gasoline-powered generator.
Hmm. Yep.
So it all gets back to gas. And same thing, if the electric goes out and I want to cook, we've got propane, it's derived from fossil fuels, but it's convenient, it's available, and it's there in an emergency. And the whole thing about the steam engines, too, the same deal. If the power grid for some reason collapses, you get a steam engine, and for that matter, I can generate my own electricity on cow poop.
Well, the thing about
I want Bree for a neighbor.
We have to be careful of how much we overthink things.
I want Bree for a neighbor. Go ahead, Sam.
Well, the thing about nuclear power is that's essentially steam generation. Same way with geothermal, they use nuclear energy and they use geothermal to heat up water, which produces steam, which spins a turbine.
That's the same thing with fossil fuel generators.
I don't think that a steam engine is going to be a realistic source of energy generation.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's going to be a realistic source, but I was just saying, and it's just an ironic point of view that people that are afraid of, okay, well, if the electric rates get too high or if the grid collapses and that sort of thing, we do still have our alternatives.
We can be resourceful. Bree, thank you for the call. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Sam Cotton is joining me. We have fears of living in an all-electric world. How about you? John is from Napomo on KVEC. Hi, John.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, John.
Hello there, Sam.
Hey, John.
I'm in agreement with you guys. I just cannot see that running an electric line where there's so much loss in the power lines and all that kind of stuff is more efficient than running a gas line. It's cheaper maybe at the beginning, but once you got that gas flowing, that just flows and it just comes in. That's your source without any loss of energy. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, as PG&E gets closer and closer to being owned by the government, which is actually happening, then more and more we become like this. The energy is going to be run by a government agency like the DMV. And if you like the DMV, hey, go for the electrical electricity owned by the DMV. That's the way I look at it. Anything that goes towards the government gets less and less efficient.
I can't disagree.
Boy, all these cynics joining us today.
I don't think they're being cynical. I think they're being realistic.
Yeah. What are you driving, John? Do you drive an electric vehicle?
I drive a hybrid, actually.
Hey, very good.
Would you go electric? Yeah. Would you go electric?
I wouldn't. I don't mind. You know, I like whatever works out and whatever is the cheaper method to get there. You know, and cheaper equals efficiency.
Yeah.
So that's the easiest way to it boils down to that. You know, so. Yeah, I like them fine. Just absolutely fine. I don't have anything against them or anything for them, you know?
All right. You're on the fence. I like it. Thank you very much for calling in. While we're in Napomo, let's catch Steven on KVEC. Hey, Steven.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
Great.
Good, good. I would say I would go with electricity if you guys would do two things or if the government would do two things. First off, put the electricity underground so that we don't have to worry about any issues with it. And then secondly, highly improve it to make it so that it doesn't run out or nothing happens to it. And it's ultra powerful, like very, 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 very powerful.
Can we do that, Sam?
That'd be my two.
Well, PG&E is in the process of undergrounding a bunch of utilities where they've had...
Which I think is why the rates are up 20%.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're paying for that, which is phenomenally expensive. And it makes the neighborhoods look better with utilities underground. And it is a lot safer. And I agree with that. But the actual price, I don't know where I'm going with this. So just
Steve, anything else you want to say?
That's it.
All right. Thanks for the call. We got to help Sam out here. Hey, 805-543-8830. Sandra checks in. Hey, Sandra.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Sandra.
Well, hi. So, well, you know, I would go fully electric, but the problem is that electricity is not—it's not going to be very reliable. You know, we have the nuclear power plants that they've all been like shut down. We have Diablo that they were scheduled to close it, but now they're going to keep it open for a while. But you know, it's the cleanest form of energy. And so I think we have to be honest about, do we really want to solve the climate problem or do we just want to, you know, play games? That's number one. But number two, with the whole electric cars, is that people just don't trust the government. You know, with the switch of a button, they can shut your car down and not allow you to travel if they don't agree with your political views, if they get a hold of...
Is that true, Sam?
Somewhere. Yeah.
Hey, Sandra, hang on a second. Do you accept that scenario?
No.
The government's going to shut your keep you from traveling.
Well, I tell you, if they can do it, if they can do it with an electric car, they can certainly do it with any of the new automobiles, because they have the drive by wire.
Or I guess, Sandra, they could shut off your phone.
And they could
shut off everything in your house. I mean, did you see that movie? Leave the World Behind? You know, where everything went out and like all those Tesla cars were all piled up. And I mean, it's a scary situation where you give up total control of your life to the government. You know, with your phone, you can at least shut it down. You can turn it off and, you know, you can minimize the spying and the invasion of privacy. But it's a bit scary.
I hear it in your voice, Sandra. Thanks for the call. Is there anybody out there who trusts the government? Does anybody trust the government? Maybe Rick in Templeton does. Hey, Rick.
Hi there.
Hey.
You know, when I go to pay my gas and electric bill in person, which I do been doing forever, the gal always tells me that I've got the lowest electric and gas bill in town.
Can I ask what your electric bill is?
Well, for this month, it's $13.40.
$13.40.
You must.
I use below the minimum amount. That's the secret of not having a high electric bill.
Well, yeah.
That's amazing.
How do you get by?
Well, I do my cooking in a stainless steel Farberware electric wok, and I don't have a TV. I have a refrigerator, but I don't use it. I have ways of keeping my stuff cold, especially in the wintertime. And I use a couple low wattage light bulbs at night. And
You make a conscious effort to keep your electric bill low.
Yeah, I can think of better things to spend my money on than giving it to the electric people.
$13.40.
I'm just curious, Rick. You live in Templeton, which gets pretty hot during the summer. How do you keep things cool during the summer?
Yeah, I just keep everything closed up all day long, and then when it does get hot, it'll get up to about 98 degrees inside the house, and if I really get hot, I'll put cold water in the bathtub and take the poor man's swimming pool dive. And
but Rick, Rick, why not spend, I don't know, $50 and
live?
And live, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love living how I do. I do. If the electricity went off, I wouldn't need it. What I could do is I could go get, you know, the little lights that people put out in their yards, you know, in the daytime, and then they glow at night. I could get those and get them charged up in the daytime, and then I could bring those in the house if I really wanted, you know, light. And then to listen to the radio, I just get a transistor radio and go down and buy batteries to listen to your station.
You're listening now on a transistor radio?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Nope.
Right.
The radio is one of the few things that I actually use. But my grandma's house always had an electric stove and electric top. It didn't cost, it was so cheap, her electricity. It's when you use motors, like washing machines that have a motor. That's what really, you know, or any fan, electric motor, but just the electricity from a stove. And it doesn't use that much power.
How long have you been?
I love cooking. I like electricity now.
How long have you been doing this, Rick?
Well, pretty much all my life.
Really?
Years.
But if the power,
yeah, I'm
if
a
the
bachelor,
if yeah. the power go, I can understand that.
Yeah.
If the power goes out, your electric wok isn't going to work real well.
I could get through it.
All right. He's a survivor.
Steam power.
All right, Rick, thanks for the call. We'll come back for a fun segment with Sam Cotton. Holy cow. This is Hometown Radio. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation with Sam Cotton. If you want in on this, though, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830. As we talk about what life would be like in an all-electric world, Sam, what I'm picking up on, people, number one, they don't trust the government. And number two, they seem to be more concerned about the home than the car.
Oh, absolutely. Because although you can live in your car, it's much more comfortable to live in your home. And if the power shuts off, a lot of the stuff that you do on a day-to-day basis that makes your life exciting and comfortable and worthwhile stops existing. If you don't have a backup, if you don't have a generator. So power to the house is much more important than power to your car.
And going back to Sandra's point, not to spread conspiracy theories, but government, state, federal, they have enormous power now. They can shut down parts of your life you have no control over with the push of a button.
They can shut down everything except your physical existence. And they could even do that, too.
Rick is getting a fan club on the Stolberg line. Texter number one wants me to interview Rick. That'd be fun. Also, Rick was hysterical. I'm a bachelor. More serious text on the Stolberg line. PG&E is offering me a free residential storage battery. I don't even have solar. Is that a good deal? I'm afraid one of those things will start a fire.
I didn't realize that PG&E was offering free residential batteries.
Would you take one?
If I could hook it into my solar system, absolutely.
Craig, would you take a free residential storage battery?
Can I sell it? I mean, is there like a thing that says I can't sell it or what? Because if I can, then I'll take it.
You could sell it and then put gas in your Jeep with it.
I mean, I'll take it because I can use it for all kinds of stuff. I got to power my tools and put in the bed of a truck. I'll take it to a job site. Who knows?
Well, now you have that truck you can buy and you can plug things into your truck.
Lightning?
The Lightning.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I think one of the things that we should be looking at for electric manufacturers is the two-way charging. So you can charge the vehicle and have it used to charge another vehicle or have it power your house. So two-way charging is something that's great.
Someone on the Stolberg line wants me to ask you about the lithium ion storage plant in Morro Bay. We're not getting involved in that. We don't know anything about it.
No.
We don't know anything about it. All we can do is thank Sam Cotton for yet another great performance. Now, did we spoil the surprise for your lovely wife?
Well, I haven't done it yet.
Okay.
But I'm sure I'll get quizzed about it when I get home.
Thank you for coming in. I got 45 seconds for a final thought.
Electricity has abundant uses. I don't think it's the greatest solution for heating, any kind of heating like your gas dryer, your heater in your house, or your stove cooking. Electric cars are a fact of life. They're going to get more important as the government increases our dependence.
Particularly here in California.
Absolutely.
Newsom is really pushing this.
Very hard. Very hard. I just hope that PG&E undergoes a rate reduction here soon.
I wouldn't hold my breath.
Yeah.
Sam, thank you. Appreciate the conversation as always.
Thank you.
Off we go. We got news, traffic, weather. Up next, a conversation with former State Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham. You're listening to Hometown Radio.
The 920 KBEC Podcast Network is presented by the Slow County Real Estate Podcast with Hal Swayze. Up-to-date information on the local real estate market on your time. New episodes weekly at the podcast link at 920kbec.com and wherever you get your podcasts. California DRE 0111-911.